If you love your pastor, let him know by giving a great big hand clap. All right, he's watching. Now, some of y'all didn't clap. If you really love him and his family, let him know tonight you love him. I think we do this every day. We show our appreciation. We show our love. What is there to say about them that has not already been said? They are very, very special friends to us. They're such gracious hosts. Every meal has been beautifully prepared and presented, and we've enjoyed each one of them immensely. I feel like I have gained 10 pounds. My suit today, they stuffed me so full. I asked her, I said, did you bring some Rolaids with you? She said, well, no, sir. I said, if I burp while I'm preaching, it's your fault. But we enjoyed so much being in their home today, and then to have his pulpit trusted to us for these two services, it means so much. You are such a phenomenal group of people. At any given moment in either one of these services, you could have just let it go and it wouldn't have bothered me at all. I would have loved to just join in with you and worship and just call it done. You've made us feel so welcome. Tonight I have a desire in my heart to just be a blessing. A blessing like Brother and Sister Stevenson had been to us and to our church. There are people in our congregation who have prayed through in his ministry and during his revivals. And what a tremendous work of God was done in both of them. And then allowing us to have a relationship, friendship, allowing us to love on his little old kids, watching them grow up. I adopted them before you ever knew them. We got a lot of history together, and we laugh and talk about things, and we can't hardly pull up to fill up with gas without those girls heading for the door of the store, knowing that whatever they want, we'll just get it and see if we can get out the door with it without mom and dad fussing too much. You've made us feel so at home, and for that we are extremely grateful. You're blessed with the best in ministry. This church is not lacking in ministry. Some of y'all weigh 300 pounds spiritually. You just butterball fat. You've come to church and you've ate, and you've gone home and you come back and you eat again, and you go home and come back and eat again. He's a student of God's Word, and he loves God's Word and loves God's people. I've watched him reach out to so many, and it's obvious when a shepherd has a shepherd's heart. And this pastor and pastor's wife certainly have a shepherd's heart. You're blessed. I felt like God spoke to my heart today, and I want to tell you what God said to me at some point in time in this little message tonight that God directed me to. Revelation chapter 8, verses 3 and 4. I'm not going to deal with all of the horrors described in Revelation. I love Revelation. But tonight I feel upon my heart the need to press something home to the hearts of faithful people here tonight. People that have been here a long time. Maybe it's a sequel to Sunday night. I don't know, but I know that I felt this so strongly in my spirit today, and I went to the Word of God here at this altar right over here, and I felt God direct me to this passage of Scripture. Revelation 8 and 3, and another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer. And there was given to him much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. My subject tonight for just a little bit, prayers that never die. You may be seated. We have a dear friend that's a mutual friend between our families. He loves and he called today and asked about the church here and asked about your pastor. Brother Stevenson and his family have ministered there on more than one occasion. His name is Brother Mark Hughes. He has a brother which is a programmer for CBS TV station. And when TV went from black and white to color, now I just dated myself. The last thing that went off the air was a color bar. And this sound of, we called it snow. How many ever, some of y'all had the Holy Ghost all your life, hadn't you? But some of us, we watched TV way back before we got the Holy Ghost. Anyway, I was told that 15 years after they ceased to use this, one evening one popped up on CBS News. 15 years when they no longer used this to broadcast. It was not something that they had broadcasted. It was something that had been out in space somewhere. It popped up with a time and a date stamp from 15 years before. Now, I read a lot of funny books growing up, and I got a vivid, very vivid imagination because of it. And when I heard this, when his brother shared that with me, I wanted to immediately ask the question and be inquisitive. How can that happen? 15 years, something's floated around out in space. 15 years, it's ricocheted off one satellite and then the other. 15 years, and then it comes by way of satellite back to our earth. And I was told by the man that is supposed to know that after this amount of time, that signal is just as strong as it ever was before. And he made this statement to me, and it made me have a little launching pad, and I went to the Word of God. He said, Brother Clark, sound waves never die. That whatever's projected into space, it just lingers and it ricochets from one place to another. In this text in Revelation, we see a lot of things described. The golden altar is described. And upon it, the Bible said, are all the prayers of the saints burning as an incense. The prayer from God's people ascending to the throne of God. And the truth that's projected here is that though prayer may seem to remain long unanswered, not one prayer is ever lost. Not one prayer is ever lost. They make their way to the altar. And according to Revelation, it lies on that altar before the very throne of God himself. You say, what does that have to do with where we are here tonight as a congregation in this church? I'm just going to ask you to notice with me two prayers that were prayed by a man named Moses, a man that was powerful in prayer. While on earth, he prayed these prayers. And both of these prayers seem to have received no answer. Now, I know I'm not the only one that's ever prayed a prayer and didn't seem to get an answer. I know I'm not the only one that ever prayed and it felt like it went to the ceiling and then came right back down and fell on the ground in front of me. Not only have I preached sermons that went off the edge of the pulpit and failed, but I have prayed and I have felt like that prayer never went anywhere, that it didn't accomplish what I had prayed about, what I was believing for. And yet I stand here tonight and tell you what I believe firmly in my spirit, that there is no such thing as a prayer that is ignored and refused by God. By that I mean, this man prayed a prayer. He prayed sincerely. He prayed fervently. He prayed earnestly. He was a man that knew God. He was the only man that ever spake to God face to face. Yet his first prayer seems to have been, God, show me thy glory. And the answer was, Moses, if I showed you what you're asking me to show you, it would consume you. That you're asking me for something that you don't realize the power of what you're asking me about. Tell you what I'll do, Moses. I'll give you a consolation gift. I'll tell you what I'll do for you. I'll place you in a cleft of the rock. I'll cover you with my hand. And when I pass by in front of you, what seems to be hiding me from you is protecting and sheltering you from something that you don't recognize. He said, I tell you what I'm going to do. He said, when I lift my hand, you'll see where my goodness has been. You'll see where I have been. It was a consolation prize, if you please. But that was not what he had asked God for. He prayed sincerely, earnestly, show me thy glory. And it seemed that God didn't answer. And then he prays a second prayer. Lord, allow me to go into the promised land. He's kept out because of his disobedience. God had given him instructions and he violated God's instructions. And because of it, he was kept out of the promised land. It does me good to see great men in the Bible that had their weaknesses. It gives me hope for Dennis Clark. It gives me hope for some of you. It gives some wives hope for their husbands. Let's just get down where we live. Some husbands hope for their wives. Some parents hope for their children, because we recognize that even great men had their weak moments. Later, this man thought that he would talk God into it. And so he starts kind of sugaring God up. He starts bragging on God. Oh, Lord, thou hast just begun to show thy servant thy greatness. What God is there in heaven and earth that can do according to thy works? I pray thee. And then he drops this prayer back in again. I pray thee, let me cross over and see the good land beyond Jordan. And the Lord replies unto him in such an abrupt and a gruff way, speak to me no more about that. Now, I would have been offended. Not you, you would have been smiling, but it would have hurt my feelings for God to have scolded me and reprimanded me somewhat. It would have bothered me somewhat. I would have had to find a place and say, God, what did I do wrong for you to talk to me like that? Speak to me no more about this, Moses. Go up to Pisgah. Lift up your eyes north, south, east, and west. Behold it with your eyes, but you're not going into that land. He dies. The Bible instructs us that angels conducted his funeral. He was buried there, an unknown location. And it seemed like that his sincere prayer was not answered. I submit to you that the prayers of Moses were heard by God. That they made their way to that golden altar that's described in Revelation in this text tonight. And there they lay before the Lord. How long did they lay there, Brother Clark? 100 years? More than 100. 200 years, more than 200. 500 years, more than 500. 1,000 years, more than 1,000 years. 1,500 years later, this prayer was answered. Jesus was born. We understand that the day he took Peter, James, and John with him up to the Mount of Transfiguration, while there, two men appeared unto him, Moses and Elijah, and unto them he began to talk about the things concerning his death and his passion. That day, say it with me, that day, somebody else say it, that day, Moses, the Bible said, beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. A prayer that seemed to have died had not died. A prayer that seemed to have not received an answer received an answer. It didn't happen when he wanted it. It didn't happen like he wanted it. But it happened anyway when God wanted it. Can I tell somebody under the sound of my voice, it may seem like it's been a long time coming, but God's going to answer your prayer. Look at somebody and say, answer number one. Say that day. Say that day. This man's prayed and he said, God allowed me to enter into the promised land. That day, he stood right in the very center, in the heart of the promised land. He said, let me go there. And it seemed like the Lord said, no. In fact, he said, don't talk to me about it no more. Remember that? It seemed like God just didn't want to discuss it anymore. But way back 1,500 years before, the Lord knew that this day was coming. And may I say that a day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Can I tell somebody under the sound of my voice, it was only a day and a half, and he was going to get his answer. It was a prayer that was prayed, and yet God answered him. It didn't seem like God was going to. It didn't appear that God was going to, but God answers prayer, because prayer, somebody say it with me, prayers never die. I prayed for years for my lost family, twin sister, brothers. There were six of us, and I understand how you feel when you pray for family and it doesn't seem to be doing what you prayed it would do, that God's not touching them and God's not reaching. In fact, it seems like sometimes the harder you pray, the further they go. At least that's what my mama said. And I prayed fervently, and it didn't seem like for years that I was seeing what I'd prayed about. But I remember on a Sunday morning, God had dealt with me in an evangelistic manner of preaching on that Sunday as a pastor. And I went to the pulpit and I looked out that congregation, and to my knowledge, there wasn't anyone there that didn't have the Holy Ghost. And they were shouting and worshiping just like you tonight. They were enjoying the goodness and the power and the presence of God, and everybody was rejoicing. And here I stood with this heavy burden on my heart and a message from God to a sinner. Now, I realize there are sinners in Zion. I'm probably looking at some. But you didn't take that very well. But we understand, okay? And I stood there that Sunday morning, and I looked at that congregation, and I thought, God, are you sure? And I don't think I'm the only pastor that's ever wondered something like that. I started preaching and being obedient to God. And what I didn't know is when I made my second point in that message, the back doors of that sanctuary pushed open, and through those doors came my twin sister, who had been backslidden for years and years and years. She never stopped at the back door. She came straight to the altar, and God gloriously filled her with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I thought that God hadn't heard me. I thought that God had ignored my prayer. I thought that prayer had died. I stand here today to tell you that there are things called prayer that never die. Prayers that you offered. Prayers that you're believing God for. Let me help somebody in this congregation tonight. The devil is a liar. He will tell you that God hasn't heard you. God has heard you. He'll tell you God's not going to answer you. God sent me here tonight to tell somebody, prayers never die. Clap your hands to the Lord. That same month, I prayed my baby sister through and baptized her in Jesus' name. I remember distinctly an old lady in my home church, and I say that respectfully, she scared me to death. To us, she looked like she floated on air. She wore a long white dress, and she had that little oatmeal lid, that little thing. I don't know what to call it. It's not a hat. It looked like oatmeal lid off oatmeal box, and that white net coming down. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Maybe you've just seen a picture, but she'd float in that back door, and she had that red Bible and that handkerchief, and she was popping that handkerchief and praying. She'd come by and she'd look down at me, and I'd look up at her, and that woman scared me slapped to death because I knew she knew what I'd been up to, and she's fixing to go tell my daddy. It looked like she could look right straight through you. Now, I was terrified of that little old darling. My dad, she got to where she couldn't come to church, and so Dad and Mom would go by, and they would pray for her and pray with her every Sunday evening. Well, we had to ride with them, and I'd sit in the car and wait till they got through praying. I just didn't go in there, and I needed to, but I didn't. I never will forget. They came out one Sunday afternoon, and they walked out to the car and said, "Ma Allen," that's what everybody called her, Sister Allen, said, "Ma Allen wants to pray for you." Oh, Lord, I like to have a heart attack at a young age. And so, just 11-year-old boy, the world was already tugging at my heart. And I was not living like I knew that I needed to live. And I walked in there because it was either let her pray for me or let my daddy whip me. And so I thought I'd just go let her pray for me. And I went in, and I stood there beside her bed, and she lifted that old white hand of hers and them big blue veins on the back of it that looked like they stood up that far, and she reached over and laid it on top of my head, and I stood there just about to die. And she said, she started praying, and oh, that old woman prayed, and she prayed, and she prayed. And she never took her hand off my head, and she quit praying. Well, I thought it was safe to open my eyes, and so I opened my eyes and looked at her, and she was staring at me with them little foggy, pale blue eyes of hers. And she started prophesying. She started saying something over me, and I never forget the words, and I quote. She said, "Dennis, one day the Lord will use you for His glory to lead many people to Him." Ladies and gentlemen, it looked like for a long time that prayer was wasted. All the effort of that old lady was wasted. But one night God got a hold of my heart, and God filled me with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And in the 50 plus years since then, can I tell you that God has been so good to me? How many times have we been praying for people? How many times have we been praying with people, and suddenly something rolls into the room? Something we didn't pray down. Something we didn't bring with us. Just the Spirit and the Shekinah glory of God. And you realize this is not a prayer I prayed. This is a prayer somebody else has prayed. This is a prayer somebody else has called down. This is something else. This is something that somebody else has prayed. Prayers that never die. I sat in my mom's hospital room, and I saw more than snow white hair. I saw more than shoulders that were frail and stooping toward the grave. I saw lots and lots and lots of prayer stacked up. When I was too stupid to know what I was doing, when I was headed down the wrong road and chasing things that I didn't need to be a part of, my old mama was on them bony arthritic knees of hers praying and calling my name out to God. Prayers that never die. My old daddy in his 80s still went to the prayer room an hour before church. And his pastor told me, he said, "Prayer room's right next to my office." He said, "I'd hear your old daddy start praying." He said, "Now, he didn't play around. By the way, you men bless my heart tonight in that prayer room. Yes, sir. My word. That was the whipped cream and the cherry on top of the sundae. Y'all blessed my heart. You men that prayed and touched God." And my old daddy'd get in that prayer room and he'd start praying. He had two boys, me and my older brother, ministers, and he'd start praying. He'd say, "God, I want to first talk to you about my unsaved children." He'd start calling their names. somewhere about midways in his prayer time, he said, "Now, God, my boys are fixing to step to the pulpits tonight." He said, "I'm asking you to anoint them, and I'm asking you to fill people with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I'm asking you to send revival." And it dawned on me after he told me that, those times that I went to the pulpit full of my own self, thinking that my preaching was going to make it happen, I realized it wasn't nothing about my preaching. It was just the word of God that was going forth, and it was going to accomplish there whereunto he sent it. But there was an old daddy on his knees every Sunday morning and every Sunday night, and he was calling my name out to God. And when revival would break out, boy, they would talk about the sermon, or they'd talk about this or that, and really all it was a prayer that never died. It was somebody that carried me to the throne of God and prayed and said, "God, whatever you do, give him revival. Whatever you do, pour your spirit out. Whatever you do, fill people with the Holy Ghost." Prayers that never die. What God put on my heart, I wrote down in the prayer room this past Tuesday. I feel that this church is here. I don't know you. I feel that this church is here because of praying men and women. Men and women that prayed fervently and earnestly. You ask God to raise up the church that's here right now. You ask God for ministry that would preach truth and guard those cherished truths of apostolic doctrine. Some may have died. There may be those that we have lost, and they're buried somewhere in this vicinity or community. But ladies and gentlemen, they left something behind. Something that lingers in every service. Something that the devil did not count on. And that was the prayers that they prayed. And what you're experiencing and what you're going to experience, I speak prophetically to this church tonight. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. You're fixing to experience something that you have never experienced before because of prayers that never die, because of prayers that have been prayed before, and because of your love for truth. Can I encourage someone in this building tonight to continue to pray? Can I encourage someone in this building tonight to continue to believe? Can I encourage someone in this building tonight to continue to call out on the Lord? Stand with me. I got a phone call last year in August. Actually, it was August the 1st. And I received an invitation to preach in a church in Nederland, Texas. It was a boy out of my home church. He was pastoring the church there. I accepted the invitation. I went in to preach. And when I walked in upon the platform, I looked back, and sitting about two-thirds of the way back toward the back of the building was my little baby brother. My brother had been away from God 48 years, backslidden and away from God for 48 years. I preached my heart out that night, and I was grieved because just a few weeks before he had gone completely blind, just almost overnight. I watched as they led him in and he tapped that white cane. I watched as he felt for the pew and tried to find a place to sit. I watched as he'd stand up and reach for the pew in front of him, and I recognized how helpless he was. And I watched as the Spirit of the Lord began to flirt with his heart. I preached what God gave me to preach, and I walked back, which I rarely ever did. I walked back and I put my hand on his shoulder and pulled his head up to me. I just began to weep. I said, Kenneth, why don't you come up to the front and let's pray and see what God will do for you. He said, brother, that's not what I came for. Well, I said, it may not be what you came for, but I believe the Lord has something for you anyway. I started to leave, and he reached out and grabbed me by my coat, and he pulled me back down. He said, I've got a question for you. I said, okay. He said, would you baptize me in Jesus' name? And I thought, why? Absolutely. I said, you got some clothes? He said, I brought some clothes with me. We got him ready. We baptized him in Jesus' name. When my blind brother came up out of that water, and I wish I'd have gave it to you, see how the man let him put it on the screen. I've got a picture on my phone. Him in the baptistry with his hands lifted toward heaven. And the Spirit of the Lord swept into that church like a train. And it filled that building, and people were being slain around the baptistry and in the aisles. And they were videoing him on his phone. He had them long hands reaching toward heaven. Had his eyes open and he couldn't see a thing, but he was looking up that way. And the Spirit of the Lord hit him. When I brought him up out of that water, baptized him in Jesus' name, when I brought him up out of that water, he started to say something. He said, "Woo!" And the next words out of his mouth were in another tongue as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. 48 years. What does that have to do with us, Brother Clark? Everything. Everything. I'm facing men and women tonight who've been praying a long time. I'm facing wives that have been praying for husbands. Husbands have been praying for wives. Children have been praying for parents. Parents have been praying for children. Precious saints of God have been praying for neighbors, friends, and acquaintances. And the enemy would like to convince you that their prayer died, because it hasn't happened. God sent me here to tell somebody in this congregation tonight, prayers never die. They lay on that altar, and one of these days, you're going to make the last payment, and it's going to be given to you. One of these days, you're going to go to that prayer room the last time and weep your heart out. One of these days, and I'm just telling you what I've watched this week, you're going to come up here on your lunch break and you're going to sign in and come through that door and get over there and pray for an hour. Get back in your truck. I saw you. I saw you in your work truck. I saw you in your work clothes. I saw several of you. And you went back to work and you thought, it's just something I do. No, 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 no. You prayed another prayer. And that prayer is laying on the throne before God. And that incense is rising to the very nostrils of God Himself. And God can't ignore that. God won't turn a deaf ear to that. Is there anybody here tonight that has an unsaved loved one that you've been praying for? Come stand in the front with me. Anybody here with unsaved children?